Hi, I'm Julie Duhl. Thank you so much for listening to our Ignite Sparks podcast. During last episode, we took a look back with outgoing Community Services Director Armando Ornelas. And today I'm excited and looking very forward to look forward with Michael Drinkwater. He's our new Community Services Director. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Julie, thank you for having me.
We are very excited to have you here and thank you for joining me. I'm excited to talk to you about your new position, which is Community Services Director. But you're not new to the city. You've been with the city for a while as our plant manager. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Happy to. So yeah, I came on board with the City of Sparks in 2013 as the plant manager out at the Truckee Meadows Water Reclamation Facility, or Tom Wharf, as we like to call it. And so I was out there for just over a decade when I had the opportunity to compete for and win my current position as Community Services Director.
I remember we did a podcast about Tom Wharf, and it was just so interesting. And maybe later on, we can even do some more about that, because that's really a huge part, and it's actually kind of a part of your job now. You'll still be overseeing part of that, correctly?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
That'll be one of five functional areas I oversee now.
Which helps me to dive right into the next question. So tell me a little bit about your new position and what you'll be doing.
So as the Community Services Director, we have five functional areas, as I call them, inside the department. One is, of course, is the treatment plant. One is public works maintenance, which is all of the maintenance in the city: street maintenance, sewers, storm drains, vehicles, facilities, and all of the men and women who perform those roles. Then there's the building department. So as you might be familiar with, when you apply to get a building permit, the building inspectors and the plan checkers who make sure everything is built according to code. Then there's the engineering department. And our engineering department reviews all of the improvements for public works. So every street project, any sewer or storm drain project, or any other utility that's in our right-of-way, for example, Tumwa or NV Energy, when they're working in our right-of-way, our engineering department manages those projects. And then, of course, we have our planning division, which is for all the new development in the City of Sparks, the large developments going out in Spanish Springs down to the small one or two house development here in the core of the older Sparks, if you will. Mm-hmm. Our planners and their that unit is responsible for reviewing to make sure that everything is compatible with the existing zoning and that the traffic studies are done to make sure we're not creating problems with our traffic engineering and so on. So the planners and the engineers work closely together to make sure new development is appropriate for the area in which it's being proposed. So those are the five functional areas in the Community Services Department. And it's, as you can tell, pretty broad.
Right. I was going to say, there's nothing really small about that big job that you're taking on here. So I'm quite impressed by that. And I know one of the things, too, is you have a great staff over there and some really seasoned people, some newer people coming on. You want to talk about that a little bit in all those functional areas?
Sure. So just by the numbers, the Community Services Department is about one third of the City of Sparks. We have just over 600 employees full time, and Community Services is 201 of those 600 employees.
Wow, big department.
Right. Yeah. It's big. But even more interesting from my perspective is that we have about 46% of the unique job titles.
Oh,
so
tell me
we have, for mine, I'm a Community Services Director, of course, a treatment plant manager, and then all of the things at the treatment plant. So the operators, the mechanics, the electricians, the chemists, there's a safety officer, some IT folks at the plant. Then over at the maintenance yard, of course, we have a maintenance manager. We have vehicle mechanics, facilities maintenance workers, which are the buildings. Facilities is just another way of saying all of the buildings we own. We have street maintenance workers, sewer maintenance workers. So all of those different titles. Then in the building department, the building official, the plans examiners, and the building inspectors. We have engineers, but even, you know, in the engineering team, we have a traffic engineering group. We have a utility engineering group, which is water, wastewater, stormwater, reclaim water. Then we have capital projects engineers, which are everything from putting a new roof on the Al Sorensen pool to space utilization studies inside the police department. As the city has grown, the police department has grown. They filled up their building. We're trying to optimize the use of their building. So that's Brian Kaysen, who's our capital projects manager. He's trying to figure out how to, frankly, get more humans safely and effectively inside that space. Right. So, you know, he's handling a lot of different stuff. So, you know, then the planners in the planning section, of course, our city planner is responsible for everything, but individual planners who are assigned different areas of the city. We've got code enforcement officers. We have a housing specialist. So we're pretty broad. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Broad.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because I know I'm a storyteller at heart. So what I do in my job is really tell the stories about what's going on at the city of Sparks. And I know community services is probably a huge, huge chunk of the stories that I tell, from what's going on in Victorian Square to, you know, some of our events and things like that. There's just so much that in your department. So what do you think is probably one of the most important things that maybe listeners need to know about the community services department?
I think one of the things I would very much like the listeners to know is how broad we really are. Yeah. There's almost no part of the city we don't impact, even with respect to the emergency services. While we certainly are not providing emergency response, we support them. All the vehicles are maintained by the fleet, by the mechanics over in the fleet services group at the yard. We have all of the roads that we maintain. So, of course, first responders drive on our roads. We have our fingers in almost everything. And we not only do the regular day-to-day things that keep a city moving forward, but we are also part of the team that provides the support for all of the special events that Sparks hosts and Sparks is famous for, from the rib cook-off to hometown Christmas to Star Spangled Sparks. Of course, the police and fire are there, and the Parks Department, you know, is front and center managing it. But behind the scenes, we're also there providing the traffic control, from trash pickup, cleanup, setup. So we're part of that group as well to keep this city a little bit different than other cities around, you know, in making it a little more special than it otherwise would be.
You know, I think that's so great that you said that, because I know, you know, even when I go down to events, I'm always seeing, you know, the traffic control people out there, you know, what's going on. There's so much behind the scenes that people don't necessarily know about. And that's why I kind of asked you that question, is I don't think most people realize everything that the community services department does. So I kind of thank you for talking about those functional areas and some of the jobs that are in under you and in that department. So are you excited to be taking on this new role?
I'm very excited. The breadth of it is very interesting to me. I mean, the challenges that I get now are so much different. I very much enjoyed the treatment plant. I spent 10 years there, and I learned every day was a little bit different. I learned so much, and I had a great team to work with. And while it pained me a little bit to step away, it is still, as I said, it's still kind of in my purview, but I'm not there day to day. I'm not in charge of the daily operations, but I've left that in very capable hands. And so now I get to take that I get to learn about so many other things. And while I am a civil engineer, so I do have some knowledge of, you know, road design and sewer design and all that, I haven't been working in those areas, you know, since I moved into the wastewater utility, actually 6 years before coming here. So about roughly the last 20 years, I've been focused mostly on wastewater. So while I have a working knowledge of road design or traffic control, whatnot, the planning group is all new to me. I know very, very little about that. Jim Rundle, our city planner, has been working very patiently to educate me, and his team, all of his team, are helping me learn. And that's so interesting to me, to deal with something that I've never dealt with before. Though, of course, having been in community services for 10 years, I've been in the updates, and I've listened to Jim or his predecessor, Armando, you know, give the update from the planning division. And so I've absorbed some things.
Right.
But now I'm as the proverbial drinking from the fire hose, right? And his team is great and helping me learn, because it's all new to me.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's just such a great group that works down there and is, I'm sure, just extremely helpful on just providing you really great updates and what you need to know. So that's great. That's great. Well, I have a couple other questions for you. I asked Armando, our previous community services director, what he would say sets Sparks apart from other cities. And I thought I'd ask you the same question.
I think we're in the sweet spot of we're big enough to be able to entertain, to host the events that we do, the rib cook-off, the Star Spangled Sparks, the music at the marina, and so on, and to have the amenities. But we're still small enough that we all know each other, or at least we all, the majority of the city, we know one another, and we have the ability to reach across department lines or functional area lines to get the support that we need. Whereas when you get into bigger organizations, you necessarily lose that familiarity. So I think we're in a sweet spot where we're just big enough and just small enough to be able to have a little bit of both of those things.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that very much. I don't yet know everybody, all 200 people in the community services department by name. That is something I'm going to attempt to do.
Right.
Well, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to learn everybody's name, but I'm just not there yet. But I do enjoy, I mean, at least I see faces and I recognize people and I can, I'm starting to associate them with different functional areas, what their job is, where they work, what hours they work and so on, so that I can just become more familiar with the team. But at the same time, now here being at City Hall for the first time, full time. I mean, of course, I came to City Hall for meetings and other things.
Sure.
But now that I'm here full time, meeting the folks in the other departments and developing relationships with them, I think that's what makes us special, is that I can walk down the hall and talk to anybody and ask questions and get answers, you know, in real time.
Yeah. I feel the same way, because in really talking to everybody and telling the stories and the great things that are going on, I do have to go and talk with people, and they're so gracious and so willing to kind of let me know information so that I can get those important, you know, facts out there to people too. So I think that's great. What are some of the exciting things that might be coming up here and in the city that you'd like to mention maybe?
Well, I've already mentioned the special events. We're right on the beginning of the special event season,
yep.
You know, coming up. I think our first big one is Star Spangled Sparks in July. No, well, Music at the Marina.
Yep,
actually
at the Marina.
Mm-hmm. Precedes that. Of course, the Parks and Rec team has softball tournaments going all day, every day out at GURP and Shadow Mountain. And, you know, that's bringing people to town and whatnot. The concert series down on Victorian Square at the Event Center is going to kick off here in a couple weeks with some big names.
Yeah, I think Brooks and Dunn is coming up.
Brad Paisley, yeah. I think, you know, so, and of course, we've got three projects underway on Victorian Square right now to help clean it up, to make the pedestrian space more usable by pedestrians. Right, it's called the forecourt. It's right in front of the event center.
Right.
So it's going to make that area pedestrian friendly, give them a place to hang out either before or after the event. Also, you know, improve some traffic. We're doing some safety improvements. I think we're in phase three now of those. So that when we have special events, we can block off the traffic when we've closed the street to allow pedestrians, you know, milling about through the area, such as the rib cook-off or whatnot. Our transportation group, led by Amber Sosa, has done some great work in creating some barriers that don't really look like barriers.
Yeah, it's some not safety barricades.
Some safety barricades, but they're not like the iron fence and the concrete wall. That it's still attractive, but they still provide the necessary safety.
Yes.
So,
and it's much needed. I mean, we're in a very different world now.
So. Unfortunately, yes. But having said that, some of the longer term stuff our planning group is working on, we have some initiatives coming up this year with looking at our industrial area. So that area, say south of I-80, but north of the river, mm-hmm. and maybe and doing a study to see if it's feasible and what it would take to try to open up the zoning there to maybe not have it strictly industrial. This is something the mayor has been
he's been very big on that.
Very big on this issue. So we're going to do some analysis to say what is reasonable, what can we do, what will it take to make that maybe mixed use or some residential or a commercial down on the river to highlight our river, which is the Truckee River, is a fantastic,
beautiful
asset to the community,
yep.
And maybe make that more pedestrian friendly, make it more, get a population down there to help motivate some more activity and celebrate that particular feature.
Because that's what I was just going to ask you in my next question, is the initiatives that are mm-hmm. coming up in City Sparks. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because I do know that that is at the very heart of what our mayor is really, mm-hmm. really interested in.
And then two others I'll just mention, both the planning group is working on, or we're about to begin work on, excuse me. One is the missing middle. We're for our housing market in Sparks. We kind of have high-end homes or expensive homes, and we have, of course, rental properties. But that entry-level property, the first house that one might buy, mm-hmm. we don't have a lot of that. We call that the missing middle, when you transition from renting to owning.
Oh, okay.
But that first step, and we don't have a lot of it. And there's an effort to see what can we do to encourage that type of development. Certainly the city, we don't build houses, right?
Right.
But we can maybe encourage that type of development in certain areas to allow that natural progression from the young adult, from the rental market to the home ownership, and give them a product in an area that they can get an entry-level home, which then might, you know, in the future might lead to them moving to a larger home. It might not, but at least it provides that entry into the home ownership. So our planning group is initiating a study. Well, the mayor and the council has directed it, and we are taking their direction and initiating that study to see what does that look like? How can we encourage that as the municipality? And then finally, of course, the Washoe Lands Bill, which has been introduced in Congress now, if it passes in its current form, would provide for new lands north and east of Sparks that might come into our city at some point. And what would that look like? What would they be used for? How do we incorporate it? How do we provide the services we need to provide to make it part of a city? The police, the fire, the roads, the sewer, storm drains, so on and so forth.
Right.
You know, what does that look like for us moving into the next 50 years? So those are just the three things that the plan, that's just the planning group, but they're starting work on in the coming year to help frame the next generation of Sparks.
So what I like about what you're saying too is it's very forward thinking because, you know, I think a lot of times, and I hear this, you're just being reactionary, and that's not true. We're very, very proactive on initiatives that we're looking at that will affect people for years to come.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, direction from the mayor and the council and the manager coming down through us. But we also have the subject matter experts at the staff level, you know, who get to information gets to flow uphill, if you will, in the organization saying, hey, you know, some of the things we're seeing that maybe we need to take a look at, you know, from the planners, because that's what they're experts at. You know, I'm an engineer. I'm not a planner. So like I said, I'm learning, but I depend on them for that professional, just those professional eyes to look at something and maybe see things that I wouldn't see.
Right, that insight is that very insight. Valuable.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Similarly, Amy Jones, our housing specialist, she works very closely with HUD in trying to provide those services to the community. Recently, she brought to the manager and he approved. We're working with Washoe County on some eviction prevention assistance. Some funds were made available, and so she is our point person for, you know, citizens who might be facing eviction, who've faced some sort of financial hardship for whatever reason, can apply and perhaps receive some assistance to stay that eviction for up to 2 months so that they can maybe recover and stay in their home.
And I talked to Amy recently and she was telling me, you know, that is part of what she can help people with is filling out those applications for Washoe County to help with emergency rental assistance.
Absolutely. And she's already assisted more than 20. I don't know the exact number, but but she is reaching out and with those connections. And again, I'm just highlighting that's an area, while it's in my department, I have zero expertise in that. And I depend upon the staff level experts to bring that forward. So that's something that she learned of, brought forward to me. We took it up to the manager. He absolutely said, absolutely, get to work. And it's already having an impact on our community.
Yeah. What you just said too, and it kind of makes me think back to something else you already said too, is that line of communication, you know, to our city manager, to our electeds, you know, our electeds give direction to us. But I think the lines of communication are very open. Mm-hmm. And I know in my job, I so appreciate that. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
And that's back to the, we're small enough to be able to utilize that information flowing upwards in an effective way.
Yeah. Yes. Still small enough, but you know, we're big, but we're small. So it's nice. And we still have that real family oriented feel really within the city and then in the city. So within the city of Sparks as you know, what we work here, but just in the city itself too. So, yeah. So any other initiatives that you want to mention that I may have missed that I...
Wow. You know, I'm sure there's lots of things going on, but we are focused. We try to keep one eye on the day-to-day business. I don't know where this fits on our interview, but I have to say it.
Good.
What's that?
I love that. I said good.
Good. You know, it's like not only the day-to-day operations of the city, but when things go sour on us, for example, the winter that just won't quit, the hundreds and hundreds of hours of snowplow time and brine truck time that the Public Works Maintenance Team put in starting in December and going still going today.
Right, I think, absolutely.
The amount of overtime and effort and just absolute, I guess,
dedication
is the only word that fits to continually show up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get in the snowplow again and plow that street again so that we can safely get to work in the morning or to brine the streets in advance of the storm.
Or windstorms that brought down trees. And
to deal with the branches and whatnot that came, that New Year's Eve storm particularly was bad about bringing down trees and branches. The dedication from the Public Works Maintenance team is just an adjective fails me. I don't know how to describe it other than to say thank you to that entire group over there. But things like that. And then we fortunately haven't seen it, and we hope we don't see it this year, but rewind to the 17 flood, same thing. Mm-hmm. That level of effort getting out and addressing the issues that we can to keep the community safe in coordination with lots of other people. I don't mean to say that we do this in a silo. We work closely with PD, with fire,
with our regional partners.
And our regional partners to get it all done. So I'm not suggesting, you know, we're doing it all by ourselves, but the dedication from that group this last year has just been immeasurable. And I'm extremely grateful to be associated with that team.
I am so thankful and grateful to them as well, because they've allowed me to go out with them so that I can tell the story to show all the things that they're doing out there. And it's miraculous. I mean, it's really nothing short of miraculous when you get out there and you really see all the hard work and dedication that they're doing. So appreciative of them for sure. What else? What else did I miss talking about maybe that you'd like to kind of mention? I really appreciate you mentioning that.
That's what I love about this job, this new job I'm in. I get to associate with so many fantastic, dedicated human beings in areas that, again, most citizens, it's not that they just don't think about it. You know, they don't know the things that have to happen to keep a city functional. I mean, you know, when a traffic signal isn't working and it happens to be on a busy street, and so that causes delays in a morning commute or whatever, you know about that. But what's going on, you see it and you know about it. But I'd like you just take a moment and remember the several hundred mornings you took that exact same route when the signal was functioning perfectly.
Yep.
You know, we're not perfect. You know, things do break, and we address them as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
And you know, we like to think that we do a pretty good job of staying ahead of things. But I would just ask a little bit of understanding on those occasions when things are maybe not as optimal as you might like.
Well, I have to do a shameless plug for our new app, because that's exactly one of the things that we have really worked on is a new app. It's called My Sparks that people can download. And if you do see, you know, something that you need to report, whether it be a pothole or graffiti or a light timing or, you know, whatever that looks like, we have that app so that you can report that and we can get out there and take a look at it, because we can't know what we don't know. So we can't be on every single street every single day to see every single pothole. So it's nice that we can have somebody take a picture of it, send it our way, and we can get it on the schedule to get it fixed. So
absolutely. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And so we will address things. And of course, sometimes things that are public safety hazards get moved right to the top of the list.
Sure.
So maybe that,
and rightly so,
so. But so sometimes maybe your request moves down on the priority list, and you know, we just ask for your understanding on things like that, because obviously public safety is the most important thing.
Yeah, and just know that behind the scenes, we really, really do care about this city, and I know everybody on your team that's on boots on the ground that are working so hard for the city they really do care so much. Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't agree more. And like I said, I'm just humbled and extremely happy to be associated with all of the different areas inside community services.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And you know, like you said, you're getting kind of the lay of the land here at City Hall, because you were out at Tubmorf before. So we're happy to have you here and just happy to kind of hear what you have to say about starting your new job. And maybe I'll have you back in about, 6 months or so.
All right.
See if you know everybody's name.
I'll do my best. Thank you.
No, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Julie.
And tune in next time. We're going to be talking with our Parks and Recreation Director, Tony Pele, and he's retiring, and we'll kind of get a look back with him as well. So thank you so much for listening. See you again next time.